Alright.
Yeah.
Has roll call been taken?
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present, with Director Graves joining us via Zoom, and our district engineer also joining us from his couch via Zoom.
And we're very grateful that you're here, Director Graves. Just on
thank you very much. Actually, I appreciate that. I'm glad I'm here too.
And it's good to see you're all happy, and you know,
yeah,
we'll share scars later.
I was dancing just 5 minutes ago.
I believe it. This is the time in the meeting that we open it up to public comment on anything that is not part of our agenda. Is there anyone online that's raising their hand for public comment?
No hands.
Okay, and there's none in the audience, so we're going to go ahead and close public comment. We don't have any draft minutes to be approved. Doesn't look like we have any updates. So it looks like we are on to discussion and possible feedback regarding denitrification project closeout and project summary. Is that you, Dina, or is that Gregory?
Actually, we'll pass that over to our district engineer, Gregory Harris.
Gregory, you are up.
Okay, guys.
Gregory Harris, district engineer for the town of Discovery Bay. There should be a PowerPoint queued up if everything worked correctly.
Yeah, we're working on it. Yep, we have it. That's amazing. Okay, floor is yours.
Technology, right? So go ahead and start the game. Yeah. There we go. So,
hey guys, we did it. We built it. We financed it. The 10-year odyssey, the 10-year process is over, all right?
Yay!
So we're going to talk about our denitrification project. So you may know that this is, hopefully this should be our final update on the denitrification process. And this is for Herbert Engineering did the design, Anderson Pacific did the construction. And this is our final update. So if you go on to the next slide. And you may recall that this was a very, very significant project because we ripped the entire heart out of the plant and rebuilt it. This is the core, the very core of how the plant goes. And so we also, there's your picture, sort of before picture. Go ahead and go on to the next one. And then there you see, it looks a little different, doesn't it? A lot of stuff got added here. So as part of the project, we put in a new headworks. We put in 3 new anoxic basins there. We put in a new oxidation ditch. We finished a berm there for lagoon number 3. Look at that nice brand new smoking berm we got down there.
I like that lagoon 3 is being accessed at this point.
Yeah.
But we didn't do anything with the clarifiers or the existing oxidation ditch. But as you can see, that it's been quite an expansion and improvement to the plant. Next slide. So, how did we get here? We started with a master plan upgrade project to identify what to do. Anderson Pacific was the contractor for the project. They had notice to proceed in June of 2021. Does that seem like a long time ago? All right, it is now June of 2024. So, a couple years ago, we did, or 3 years ago, we got into this. And our actual original finish date was supposed to be June of 2023. Just a few issues on the way pushed us out 9 months, and we actually finished in February of this year, February 2024. And then we actually started up the process over a year ago, though. We started up the process in April 2023. Our new permit conditions took effect in December of last year. So we had to really push to get the process online. And we did that, and we needed time for Viola to practice with the process before our permit conditions, and they did that. Then our new permit conditions came into effect December of last year. So we're a new nitrifying plant and meeting those limits as of December last year. Original contract amount was about $16 million, and the total cost of the project, including change orders, was about $15.5 million. You might recall that about $1.6 million was a whole new pump station W and a new Barsman at the influent station. So that is by far the biggest majority of those change orders. We also fixed the diffuser, fixed the broken rotor, fixed the aerobic digester, did a lot of stuff. And you may recall we had a lot of damage from the rains on our asphalt, so there's a lot of extra asphalt paving that had to take place from the heavy rains that happened to hit right when we're in the middle of construction. That's not when you want heavy rain when you're in the middle of construction. It just destroys your asphalt when you're running trucks over. Next slide. So what did we do? Okay, well, we have a thing called our NPDES permit.
That's hey, Greg, Gregory,
go ahead.
Gregory, let me interrupt. So if I do a little bit of math there, we might have been only about $500,000 over budget on the actual project itself.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
The rest of them were change orders that were improvements that weren't initially budgeted for.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
And, just like that. So what did we do? Well, the whole purpose of the project was to reduce our effluent nitrogen. And that's in our permit. It's called the NPDES permit. It governs the operation of all of our wastewater. Ken knows that very well, Kevin knows that very well. He's been in those negotiations a lot. So our permit changed to 10 milligrams per liter. What was going on before? Well, we were doing 40 to 50 milligrams per liter. And the thing about nitrogen is when it goes in the delta, it grows algae. So the state doesn't want us to do that, so the state get rid of nitrogen, get it under 10. And after the project construction, we're hitting 6 to 7 on a reliable basis for total nitrogen out of the plant. And then that's a reduction of 422 pounds a day of nitrogen. Milligrams per liter doesn't sound like a lot, does it? But when you multiply by millions of gallons a day of wastewater, it comes out to pounds of nitrogen that's produced. So 422 pounds of nitrogen, that's basically fertilizer that was going into Old River every day. 422 pounds, just like you bought, went down to the store, bought fertilizer, and just dumped it in Old River. That's what that was doing. We had some startup with issues. Startup without issue, and we had no upsets. So basically, we turned it on, and Veolia took it over, and it worked, and that was it. So, next slide. Building it, it started up great, but building it was a challenge. So the biggest problem is, hey, man, we had to take a heart out of the plant while still maintaining a plant in operation. So there was a lot of bypassing, a lot of very long bypasses throughout the project in all stages of construction. We had deep excavations deep into the groundwater, so we fought groundwater all the way through the project. Guess what? COVID hit. Right, remember those days? And we couldn't get materials. Everyone had to wear masks on site. Everyone had to wear masks when talking to each other, even when outside. You guys remember those days. People with the sliding gate manufacturer just canceled their order. They just gave up, and we had to go find a new manufacturer. Pipes and fittings were oftentimes not available. We had to find alternates. In the middle of all that, rotor number 3 for Oxygen 3 failed before we ever got over to it to fix it, to replace it. So we had to repair it twice to get it in service long enough for us to get to that ditch to get it actually physically replaced. We had weather impacts. If you remember the rains we had in January of 2023, you guys remember all the flooding around town, the flooding at the plant? That slowed things down. We had some rehab issues at Plant 1. We found Pump Station W was not in good shape. And we had even more issues with the influent pump station once we got into it and started cleaning it up. So we did some more rehab on the influent pump station. Next slide. So here's some pictures of the anoxic basins. You see we've got a very deep excavation in the ground here. So they're using dewatering wells. You can see how thick that bottom mat is. It is 3 feet thick. And then our walls are 18 inches thick, and that was the day we were testing the water surface in the water to make sure the structure wasn't leaking. Next slide. So here's the oxidation ditch. It's basically a giant racetrack that we build. And we dig out the racetrack, And we were right at groundwater, so we kept having groundwater seep into the bottom of our racetrack here. So it's dirt first, and then we line it with concrete. And then we put the new rotors in, and we turn the ditch on. There's our ditch on the right. Next. Anoxa basin number 3 had some challenges. You can see how wet it is in the bottom from the groundwater. And then we busted a water line and flooded the whole thing up 8 feet deep. But we got through it. We got through it, and we got it built right there on the right. So there's Anoxa basin number 3. Next. We also had some ground movement. This is oxidation ditch number 3. And we found that with all the excavation and all the rains, and something happened, but the ditch moved. So it wasn't catastrophic, but it did require a little repair. So there was another thing that sort of popped up on us. Next. We installed new bar screens and rehabbed the headworks while we were out there. We raised the headworks in the bottom there. We're raising the walls up a foot. Installed new partial flume and new bar screens, so the headworks is nice and spiffy now. We have, you might recall, we ended up like 8-9 years ago, we had an emergency repair bill where we had to buy a whole new bar screen because the bar screen failed and we only had one channel with a bar screen, so we fixed that now. We have 2 bar screens. If one fails, it's not an emergency. We can just do normal repairs. So it doesn't run out. We also got more reliable bar screens and a better compactor as part of this project. Next. Inflow pump station. You might recall that we were having problems with the inflow pump station. We knew this, but when we got into it, we found out that, hey, some of the pipes have pulled apart, and those are wastewater rags that have pushed through the fittings that are coming out of the pipe and have damaged the piping and things, and all that had to be fixed. See the bottom there? That's after we fixed it, and then we also replaced some check valves up on top, some new piping and things at the inflow pump station. That's at plant 1. Next. So, good old pump station W. It was the original inflow pump station at plant 1 before there was anything. So before there was a plant 2, it was the original. It was the very first pump station built in Discovery Bay, right? So we needed a backup to the inflow pump station. It sits physically right next to the inflow pump station. And we needed a backup to it. But when we got into it, the rebar had corroded so bad, the contractor wouldn't go in it, refused to go in it. That's him staring at it, saying, not me. Okay. And we had to condemn the pump station and build a new one, which is one of the larger changeovers. So here we're breaking out the pump station, digging out, and we got a new pump station now. Next.
Hey, Gregory?
Yeah.
That goes back prior to when we were gifted this wastewater plant back when we became a CSD, correct?
Yes.
That lift station already existed. We were gifted, quote unquote, gifted that.
Yeah.
Piece of crap. Back when Hoffman built it and can grow it with contrapuntal water.
Yeah, actually, that was pre-Hoffman. That was the original developer. Pre-Hoffman built that pump station.
You're looking at 1960s.
Okay.
So it was done. We tried to save it, but there was no saving it. You know. But now we got a nice, good, solid, reliable backup to the inflow pump station, so we can do maintenance on the inflow pump station, which is, by the way, why we could not fix those problems I showed you earlier. We couldn't fix them because we couldn't do maintenance on it because we had to redirect the wastewater somewhere else to do it. Now we can do that. We can go in and maintain all that piping. If there's a problem, they can just switch pump stations, maintain the equipment, and keep it running and not let it all fall apart because we can't fix it. Rotor number 3, we snapped the shaft. It was going to get taken out. It did get taken out, but it snapped the shaft a year early. We were a year before we could get here, so we had to machine a new shaft. And then ultimately we gave up on that because it broke again. We rented a aerator, and we did a rental aerator for 9 months while we finished the rest of the project so we could catch up to it. There's a little cute little aerator floating in the ditch there. Next. Aerobic digest here, we lost the slopes. It's been going over time, but it became really obvious while we were out there. That pole in the top picture, look at the bottom picture, it's supposed to be behind the dirt, not in the pond. So it's not supposed to be in the pond, it's supposed to be in the bank. So we end up rebuilding that bank, and that looks all good and spiffy now. Next. Hey, we all remember January 2023, right? I know Veolia does, because the whole plant was underwater. And so we had the weather impacts. It impacted not only the schedule of the construction, but it did a lot of damage to our paving, and we ended up having to do extra paving at the end of the job to kind of clean up where we lost things. Next.
That's it.
There we go. That's it, guys. We're done. What do you think?
Any questions, Kevin?
No, I have a couple comments, if I may.
Yeah, please.
First of all, thank you, Gregory. A great presentation. And the thing I think that, based on my longevity on the board, the thing I'm happiest about is we're finally getting these redundant systems in place to where we can reasonably maintain this into the future, and we won't have, in the middle of one project, another project falling apart, like the anaerobic digester walls collapsing in the middle of another project we're doing, and yada, yada. So thank you for the design features of that, Gregory, and I think that the townspeople should be very pleased with the fact that we've developed an even more reliable way of not only disposing of the waste throughout the town, but complying with the requirements of the state. So thank you very much for that.
I second Kevin's comments. Is there any public comment?
No.
Okay, so we'll bring it back. I think, Kevin, this is supposed to be on the board meeting tonight. Are you comfortable with everything? I don't think we really need to do approval, but...
I am more than pleased. Are we going to get the same presentation tonight?
Yeah, it'll be the same presentation. There's a little more in the staff report than what you got in your report, but that's about it. A little more detail in the staff report.
Don't get too detailed, Greg. Keep it nice, short, and crisp.
No, I'm just going to do what I did in that presentation. So okay. You guys can read the staff report on your own. I'm not going to reiterate the staff report.
Right.
I'm just going to give you that presentation.
I think the visuals are going to be great for the rest of what we're to see because, you know, Ashley and I walked some of these things with you, like when that wall, when we were over there.
Yeah.
We were over there looking down into the pit when you were building the denitrification pits, but the rest of the board didn't have the opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
We saw the temporary aerator thing.
Yeah.
But I think the pictures are great, and I think it's going to be good for the rest of the board to see exactly what was accomplished for its $18 million.
Perfect.
One new bit of information that's in your staff report on the general board. At the time of bidding, there were three other bids starting at $19.5 million. Anderson really wanted the job, so you got the whole project and all the change orders for $1 million less than the next bid at the time of bid.
Yeah, and Anthony is very pleased with us for choosing Anderson, and he paid that $1 million out of his butt. I'm sorry.
He did. We can whine all you want, but you got it all for $1 million, guys, less than that other project. So, you know, we also got the diffuser fixed, guys, so you know what?
That's great.
You came out ahead, guys.
Thank you.
We're very fortunate and blessed to have the team that we have, and thank you for that.
Looks like you're up again, Gregory, moving into the discussion of possible feedback regarding approval of the Stanek Consulting to update the existing wastewater operations. It kind of goes hand in hand because we've done so many changes to the wastewater plant two. So I'll let you go ahead and do that, Gregory.
Okay, so as your staff report says, first off, you're required by the state to keep an up-to-date O&M manual about your process. Normally, when little tiny changes are made to the plant, they don't go update the O&M manual. But, as I just said, we just ripped the heart out of the plant. We completely changed how it operates. We changed how the process works. We changed all the equipment. And the O&M manual is drastically out of date now. So we need to update the O&M manual. We also added a pump station at Pantages that's not in the O&M manual. That pump station needs to get added in there. So we need an update on the O&M manual. Stantec has done our own manuals in the past and is the author of our current online O&M manual. And so we've gotten a quote from Stanford, I reviewed all of the things that changed with Stantec, and they provided a quote for the updating the OIM manual, and we're going to the board to request approval of that contract.
Yeah. Do you have any questions, Kevin, on that?
And how much? What's that going to be?
$90,000 to do that?
Plus
10%.
Okay.
Yeah, their contract is about $90,000, and we're requesting 10% for change orders. Yes.
Okay.
And then Herwit will assist with that, so there's like a $10,000 budget for Herwit to assist.
Okay, perfect. Are there any public comments? Bring it back. Kevin, do you have anything else to add on to that?
Nope, I'm good.
Okay, perfect. So we're going to move on to discussion E3, discussion and possible feedback regarding communication consultant.
Okay, and so I'll let Margaret talk about that.
Okay, perfect. Welcome, Margaret.
Hi. Yes, just wanted to give you an update.
I can't hear Margaret.
Oh. Thank you. Didn't know it's turned off. So can you hear me now?
No, I can't.
We did provide a brief update at the Finance Committee, but I also wanted to share here at the Water and Wastewater. Since the reason for the projects that we've just discussed and moving forward, certainly as we look at our five-year budget, we have some significant projects now coming up on the water side, and we want to make sure that we are communicating the value of that project, the cost associated with it, and the impact that it could have onto our user rates. And do so in a way that is most effective to ensure that this project moves forward, and any projects that move forward are done so in a comprehensive way. So we've been looking to fit in a multi-pronged approach. You've certainly heard from the engineers as it relates to these projects, the necessity of these projects, the timing of these projects, the cost associated with it. But we want to also involve, if you will, our financing team to ensure that we are looking how we are going to structure, if you will, that debt that will be necessary to fund those projects. And all of that to say is the next sort of layer, if you will, is to get a communication consultant on board with us to help us to understand how to strategically message out, if you will, what that project is and how it's going to be paid for, how it is different from, you know, the other projects that you might hear around the town. So again, we wanted to ensure that we have a comprehensive approach here. We already have, you know, our financing team on board, our engineering team, and in discussions with our general manager, we felt that a communication consultant could really help us navigate through a very large project on the water side, which is our mainline pipeline replacement project, long overdue for us to ensure that we get that there to ensure reliability to our service area. So as a result of that, we've been discussing with various consulting firms about the scope of services that could be necessary. They would help us in strategic message development, and they can help us with content creation, both on our website as well as social media, whatever we see as appropriate to get the message out about this project. And so we are looking to finalize on that scope after discussing with multiple firms, created a selection board. First we'll go to the communications committee and then to the board for their consideration so that we can start to build out that messaging, important messaging that's necessary, ultimately taking us all the way through that Prop 218 process. So having everybody on board at the very beginning before we even start to build the project to make sure that we've got the buy-in that's necessary. So we just want to provide an update to the Water and Wastewater Committee just to let you know kind of because of the significant water and wastewater projects that are coming up in our 5 year, we want to make sure that we're doing so in an appropriate way. With that, I'll turn it back to the committee and to the job manager.
I think it's a good idea. I think anything that we can do to, especially with a project that big, I mean, we don't want people to be surprised by it. We don't want people to, you know, storm the castle per se. So I think any communication that we can do that helps to make that an easier process would be wonderful. Kevin?
Yeah, no, I agree. So just for clarification, from my own understanding, what you're suggesting, Margaret, and what you and Dina have been talking about is basically hiring a PR firm to be proactive in the process of some of these large projects we have going forward. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes. And I think
Have you interviewed any yet, or are you just waiting for a go ahead from the board?
We have spoken to at least three different firms, narrowing in on one of them to sort of make a recommendation to you. We did get these recommendations through the California Special District Association, so
sure.
We're pretty comfortable with those recommendations.
Are you bringing this to the board tonight?
No. This is just to provide you an update because we are
okay.
Going to bring it to the Communications Committee in September, then to the board, I'm assuming in September as well, so that we can get going with them, because this will take time to get that, especially that strategic message development. And what I love about this too, in the conversations that I've had, is it's foundational. It's not just about the one project, but what can we do and how can we build upon it? So getting the website updated, or how do we approach our social media. Right now, our social media is mostly relating around our community center. But the importance of understanding community center activities are different than essential, water and wastewater projects.
I think it's great.
I agree, and I think that in my opinion, the focus should really be on education. We have so many people that know nothing about what we do and the importance of what we do. And we've never messaged that out, I don't think, in an effective way. So I'm all on board.
Yeah, no, I think, Director Griggs, learning from the meter project and how that started out and how that rolled out, and that was only a $3 million project, and how that affected the staff and, the rollout of that and the communication and how it kind of went up and down, and it kind of, you were there. So this is a bigger project. This is going to affect a lot of homes because it's cutting up the streets, it's putting in new pipes, and so we wanted to also, and the rates, it's going to affect the rates, so we want to message why we're doing it, the benefits to why we're doing it to the public, and kind of message that out properly and start from the get-go. Just taking those things that you learned from the past and trying to make them better for the projects in the future.
Right. Okay, I don't have anything more.
Okay, great. Any other public comment or anything?
No, I have no
idea. Okay, perfect. So it looks like we are at future discussion agenda items. Do you have anything, Kevin?
No, whatever Dina's going to get for us for next time, I'm sure
there'll be
several items.
Magnificent. Okay, well then I will go ahead and close the regular water wastewater meeting at 5:58.